Chapter 7, The Effects of Grand Corruption. A kleptocracy is that form of government which has corrupt leaders. They use their powers to exploit the people and the natural resources under their control in order to extend their personal wealth and political powers. Typically, this system involves embezzlement of funds at the expense of the wider population. A kleptocrat is a person who participates in this form of government. Participation can be in politics, public administration, or business. Business can be both the private and the state-owned kinds. Grand corruption is the favorite activity of kleptocrats. According to the United Nations research, grand corruption occurs when a public official or other person deprives a particular social group or substantial part of the population of a state of a fundamental right or causes the state or any of its people a loss greater than 100 times the annual minimum subsistence income of its people as a result of bribery, embezzlement, or other corruption offense. The United Nations research provides amplification with some explanatory notes. Transparency International has developed this legal definition of grand corruption to encourage advocates, scholars, lawmakers, and others to seek ways to enhance accountability of high-level public officials and others whose corruption harms their citizens egregiously and too often with impunity. The definition gives legal relevance to the harms and voice to the victims. Grand corruption is a human right crime and deserves adjudication and punishment accordingly. The effect of kleptocrats operating with impunity is that the prospects of failure of the states upon which they prey is brought into sharp relief. In the absence of an international anti-corruption court, there is at present no credible threat to the activities of kleptocrats. Their impunity is guaranteed by their seizure of control of the levers of power in the criminal justice administration of the country upon which they prey. As no other country or foreign court has general jurisdiction over the kleptocrats, there is no means available to bring them to book. International obligations to extradite kleptocrats are notoriously difficult to enforce. The American Foreign Corrupt Practices Act does allow the United States of America authorities to hold corporations and individuals who do business in the USA to account for their corruption in foreign climes. For example, the Hitachi Corporation was fined in the USA for involving itself in a corrupt deal with the ANC in South Africa via the latter's investment arm, Chancellor House, in the supplying of boilers to large new power stations via a public procurement process over which the ANC-led government presided. The ANC does not do business in the USA and escaped scot-free. The experience of Zimbabwe affords a good illustration of the current conundrum. An attempt to bring kleptocrats in Zimbabwe to justice for misappropriating land led to the disbandment of the SADC tribunal, which was seized with the matter, and the continuation of the impunity of the kleptocrats in the government of Zimbabwe. Worse than that, without a SADC tribunal, other kleptocrats in its area of jurisdiction took advantage of its disbandment to indulge their own propensities for grand corruption. Today, Zimbabwe is an extremely fragile or failed state, plagued by hyperinflation, joblessness, and its inability to secure finance from the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, and any but the most bold of lenders. The Zuma era in South Africa
was marked by a state capture project which he and his associates in politics, public service, and business embarked upon to the detriment of the common good. The work of a commission of inquiry into state capture in South Africa is incomplete at this stage, but the evidence it has been receiving speaks of widespread kleptocracy, which involved and still involves capture of parts of the state and state-owned enterprise. The first and main advantage to kleptocrats of capturing the state is that it enables them to act with impunity as they repurpose the state to feather their nest. As state capture is a form of grand corruption, it follows that its effect is to undermine the very basis upon which the social contract contained in the laws and constitutions of countries are contained.
It is important to note that capture of the state by kleptocrats is illegal and criminal. However, the classical definition of state capture refers to the way formal procedures such as laws and social norms, government bureaucracy, and also policy making are manipulated by private individuals and firms so as to influence state policies and laws in their favor. This classical form of state capture seeks to influence the formation of laws in order to protect and promote influential private interests.
In this way, it differs from most other forms of corruption, which instead seek selective enforcement of already existing laws.
State capture may or may not be illegal depending on determination by the captured state itself, and might be attempted through private lobbying and influence. The influence may be through a range of state institutions, including the legislature, executive, ministries, and the judiciary, or through a corrupt electoral process. It is similar to regulatory capture, but differs in the scale and variety of influenced areas, and, unlike regulatory capture, the private influence is never overt. The private influences cannot be discovered by lawful processes, since the legislative process, judiciary and electoral process, and all executive powers have been subverted.
A distinguishing feature from corruption is that while in cases of corruption the outcome of policy or regulatory decision is not certain, in cases of state capture the outcome is known and is highly likely to be beneficial to the captors of the state.
Further, in cases of corruption, even rampant, there is plurality and competition of corruptors to influence the outcome of the policy or distribution of resources. However, in state capture, decision makers are usually more in a position of agents to the principals, that is, the captors, who function either in monopolistic or oligarchical non-competitive fashion. Where a head of state is a capturer of the state or a captive of the kleptocratic capturers of the state, then grand corruption is inevitable. The survival of the state is then put in issue. What then is a failed state? To answer that question, here is a lightly edited revision of an extract from an article the author, in collaboration with Professor David Welsh, a political scientist, wrote in 2013. In its terminal form, the state fails when it implodes, leaving only a shell. Max Weber defined the state as the entity that possesses a monopoly on the legitimate use of force. This is a vital part of any definition of the state, but modern usage stretches the definition to incorporate the idea of sovereignty over a territory. Others insist that the idea of the state embodies a commitment as the institutional representation of the people's will. The more limited notion of the state would exclude as failed states countries such as North Korea or Zimbabwe, where the state is intact, possesses a monopoly of force, but lacks the essential ingredient of legitimacy. Somalia is one of several cases where the central government has imploded and controls only a small part of the country. South Africa, the Zuma state capture project notwithstanding, is far from such an extreme situation. There is no threat to its territorial integrity, no threat of a violent overthrow of the government, or even of a conflict that threatens to get out of hand. It enjoys democratic institutions, however poorly they perform, the rule of law, and protected civil liberties. There are, however, some disquieting signs. State failure occurs along a continuum. Dysfunctional institutions, popular protests, such as the regular service delivery protests in South Africa, illegal and often violent strikes, and the evident growing alienation of young urban dwellers who face a lifetime of unemployment. Other symptoms will be obvious to anyone who studies the demographic landscape. It is generally reckoned that constitutions that survive for 20 years have put down roots that render them resistant to destruction. But there are exceptions. Danger South Africa faces is less the abolition of the constitution than its being hollowed out. That is, its key, supposedly independent institutions being staffed by politically reliable people. The judiciary may be a primary candidate, followed by the public protector. We should never forget the wise warning in the Federalist Papers that a constitution is a mere parchment barrier.
From the 2018 index, the top 10 most vulnerable states included South Sudan, Somalia, Yemen, Syria, the Central African Republic, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Sudan, Chad, Afghanistan, and Zimbabwe.
On the flip side, states with the lowest scores were found to be the least vulnerable and less of a risk for conflict or collapse. The top state based on the 2018 index was Finland, with a score of 17.9. Norway came in second place with a score of 18.3, while Switzerland came in next with a score of 19.2. The states that appear at the bottom of the index for 2018